This is the Mason Vera Payne Show,
your go-to lifestyle podcast, covering everything from technology and gaming
to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond.
Brought to you from Chicago, USA,
with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is the Unabridged Millennial, Mason Vera Payne, and thank you for tuning in. A few weeks ago, I came across an article on adult summer camp. And this is a camp where there's activities for, you know, summer camp stuff, swimming, coloring, but it's for only adults. There's even a market for adult coloring books. This is not the only thing that adults are kind of reclaiming. Activities and items that were once labeled for children, that doesn't exist anymore. It's kind of a blurred lines. Is this bad or is this good? Is it going too far? So joining me to talk about the phenomenon of adults reclaiming their childhood is licensed psychotherapist at Beacon College in Florida, Dr. Nikki Nance. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Nance.
Well, thank you for having me.
You know, when I was growing up, my mother would always tell me that she needs to get in touch with her inner child. So where did this concept come from? Is this a new thing? Is it kind of like from the 90s, the 80s? Where did this start?
Well, you know, it kind of reoccurs. In the 60s, we talked about a midlife crisis. That was when that term kind of got took hold. And that was the trend, that people had a midlife crisis when they realized they were halfway through life and hadn't accomplished everything that they wanted to accomplish. But in the 90s, it really took hold. And it took hold in mental health counseling, because John Bradshaw wrote a bestseller that was the bestseller for a long time called Homecoming. And he talked about reclaiming your inner child. It's based on a real sound premise that the things you do as a child provide the foundation for what you do as an adult. So if you're missing certain experiences, then you that's when you struggle as an adult. It's actually Freud's whole idea, too. But John Bradshaw really personalized that and showed people how to kind of go and rework their childhood. And it was a therapy intervention for people who were grieving trauma or losses that they had in childhood. So it's really evolved and changed from that. And right now, I think we have some generations that just see that as an entitlement.
What do you mean by entitlement? Like they deserve the childhood, like even if they already had one?
Yeah, that, you know, they deserve to. You know, I hear people say, I need me time. I need to take care of myself. I'm going to go to my happy place. When people were beating their clothes on a rock to get them clean, they didn't really have time to think about their happy place. So we do have a lot of kind of empty brain time that we fill up with Facebook and, you know, technology and, you know, whatever people do when they're not really at an important task. And I think a lot of what we do is just recreational. You know, that's all it is recreational. It's for fun. People don't know how to do that, and they think they really need to go back to their childhood. And for some of them, I think it's probably productive in terms of, rather than mental illness and thinking of mental wellness, it probably is good to to regress. You know, it's a way that you refresh yourself. But some people are obsessed with it, and that's when I say it's an entitlement, that pleasing themselves physically and being constantly stimulated like you would a child seems to be what they're striving for.
So do you think that this kind of trend would actually cause stagnation in your own personal growth rather than creativity?
You know, you can get stuck anywhere. I think that's a good question. I think if you're fixed on certainties, you know, like if I do enough water skiing, I'll be a happy person. You know, people associate some childhood activity. If I, you know, I see there are adult coloring books now. You know, if I color enough pictures, that will satisfy me. You know, that's just kind of a what we call fictional finalism. You know, it's you've decided that this is how it is, but it's not really the truth. It won't complete you if you're capable of coloring a better picture. So I think you can get stuck there, and that people often get stuck in recovery processes that don't let them move forward.
You know, I have to admit, I like kind of childish things. I like my video games. I've collected comic books, and I still collect comic books, depending on what year they're from. But for me, it was never about, like, being a child or trying to get a childhood back. I, you know, this is just something I've been doing since I was about 7 years old. And, you know, what's the, like, is there a point in your life where you're like, hey, maybe I need to stop, or is this going too far? You know, because I've done that before where I've been playing a video game and I'm like, you know what? You know what, when should I put the controller away, you know, put the console away? I really enjoy my video games. For me, I don't go on social media, so this is my kind of like my dumb time. But, you know, is there a point where you're like, maybe I've gone too far?
Oh, sure. The day that you don't put it down and you say, I don't need to go to work today, I think I'll just continue to play games. You know, and even doing that once or twice in a year probably isn't bad. But, I mean, there are people that lose their marriages, their jobs. So once it's biting into the adult part of your life, what your responsibilities are, and what your relationships are. You know, I see parents that put their kids out of a room so that they themselves can play video games. They don't want to be bothered while they're playing video games themselves, while they're not doing their parenting job. That's when it interferes. You know, and there's no personal growth happening there. The person is stuck, either in childhood or in some addictive process, but yeah, nonetheless stuck.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It sounds more like an addiction. And I'm, you know, I get kind of confused by that, too, because you see, I've read reports, especially in China, where they'll have the, you know, an internet cafe and parents will just leave their kid there on the floor and they'll keep playing like World of Warcraft or some other game. And, you know, it's like, to me, that's more addiction. That's like not me. I play video games, but I would never ignore, you know, my nieces and nephews or my little cousins. Like, I love them. If they want to play with me, all the more, all the merrier. I mean, is there a fine line when you look at someone, you're like, okay, this is, you're taking this way too far, or, you know, okay, that's not so bad. I mean, how can you tell when it's kind of like good or bad, the distinction?
Well, give me a little margin of error here because I'm a therapist and I never think it's a fine line. I always think, yeah, this is a big black wall you've climbed over and fallen. You know, so it's not a fine line in my mind. And I think when you become irritable to be pulled away from it, then probably the addictive process has gone, you know, has clicked in. And, you know, that really has to do with brain chemistry. People who have addiction that runs in their families, even if they never touch alcohol or drugs, can get process addictions, and gaming, spending, gambling, sex, you know, these process addictions that can kick in. And I think a person can have process addictions and still not be stuck in childhood, you know. And there can be people that are stuck in childhood, they don't necessarily have an addiction, they just have an aversion to moving forward. They don't really want the rest of responsibility.
Yeah, I think that responsibility is the biggest thing when it comes to trying to figure out exactly like why people are doing this stuff. Because, you know, growing up, my grandmother loved to do puzzles, and not just like, you know, 1,000 pieces. Sometimes it was 5,000 or 10,000 piece puzzle. And puzzles were kind of, even though it was a lot of pieces, it was kind of considered a little bit of a child thing. And, you know, now people are drawing and coloring books. You know, to me, I don't think that's so bad. It's just something to fill in your time. But I do think it's kind of weird when, because I was at a restaurant maybe a month ago, and I saw a woman have a coloring book, and she took, you know, because some restaurants have crayons, and she was drawing in the little coloring book, and her kid, who probably wasn't even 7, was playing on her iPhone. And I was like, isn't it supposed to be a little bit of the other way around, or, you know, is there something wrong with me?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It sounds like her kids might have outgrown her.
Yeah, they grew out of coloring books, which is kind of weird,
yeah,
since it's supposed to be a, you know, a child thing. And I think that's one of the things, like, I still can't grasp it. Like, I don't know why there are some people who are like, oh, you know, there's something really wrong with wanting to play with toys or wanting to play video games. And they like to use the most extreme things like My Little Pony conventions, which most of it is adults. And I do think that's a little bit extreme myself, but, you know, no harm, no foul in my mind. I mean, is something that we should look at as from your point of view that and say like, man, we need to, whoa, slow down as a society and grow up a little bit.
You know, I just read, and I wish I could remember where I read it, that somebody wrote, if the plant isn't growing, you don't look at the plant. You look at the water, the air, and the earth. You know, and I think that's what I, you know, if I was looking at all these people, and if I went to a My Little Pony convention and I got to interview 50 people, probably 45 of them have a pretty cool life outside of that. They might be weird or eccentric, but they, you know, they're working or they're in relationships or they have, you know, children or they've good, you know, they live all right. They're not living in poverty. And then there would be five of them that when they leave that convention, My Little Pony continues to be their entire life. So, you know, that's, to me, that's the difference in just looking at the rest of it. And for a lot, you know, and looking further among those five people, maybe two of them don't have a really good available life. Maybe there's not an extended family. Maybe they're, you know, they don't have interpersonal skills for having friendships. But, you know, there might be three of those people that are living in poverty and still spending on My Little Pony.
Yeah, I've known a couple people who take My Little Pony a lot more serious than, you know, they should, than most children would.
and children are planning on growing past it.
And that's another thing, you know, sometimes why is it that people don't grow past it? I mean, you know, I remember when I was in my early 20s, my mother would be like, you still play video games. And I'd be like, well, it's a really good story. You know, it's almost like reading a book. I can easily spend, you know, over 3 months, maybe 30 hours on a game. And, you know, just here and there. And, you know, it was a great way to waste time when, you know, before you go to work, you have that hour or whatever. And, you know, I never saw anything wrong with that.
I still don't.
So there isn't anything wrong, because I've been reading too many articles about how, you know, people are saying how you need to grow up. And to me, it's like, well, just because a person enjoys doing, you know, collecting toys and not taking them out of the box or collecting comic books or going to see movies or cosplaying, dressing up, they still have a lot of responsibilities that they take care of. You know, they may even bring their kids into it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if you think about it, we just have so many, you know, our lives are so viewable to everybody else. But if you go back maybe 100 years, what about people who just enjoyed going fishing? And then there's still people who enjoy going fishing. And they could be out there all day or for a week. And some of them will forget to come back and go to work, and some of them know that that's just recreational time that takes them to a different place. I always I look at that kind of brain recreation, really good for you. If you think about your left brain being very logical and, you know, task-oriented and going to the next thing, and that's probably the brain that you take to work, even if you're a creative, to have the career as a creative, you have to have some left brain work going on all the time, so, you know, seeking out markets or whatever that is. And the little mindless stuff that we do, whether it's coloring or fishing or whatever, you're kind of in your right brain. It gives the other side, it gives your left brain a break, a rest. If you think about it, like if you're trying to remember a word or a name and you can't, if you step away from it for a little bit and give up on it, pretty soon it comes to you. And I think a lot of parts of the brain function that way. So giving your brain a rest or starting your day playing some games, you know, that sounds perfectly fine. As I said, you know, when it interferes with what we would consider a healthy life, and to define that, well, can the person have relationships, you know, rewarding relationships with others, and can they work and take care of themselves? So there's a lot of people sitting on couches that, you know, they're still on their mom's couch or on grandma's couch, and they're in their 40s, you know, but they can play those games. That's a whole different thing.
Thank you, Dr. Nance, for joining me to explain the concept of why adults are reclaiming their childhood. For more information about Dr. Nance, follow her on Twitter at Nikki Nance. That's NikiNance. That's all one word.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening.
Can't wait to hear more?
Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com.
That's MasonVeraPayne.com.
Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.